Innovation Minds presents At the Edge, a podcast about using innovation to empower and drive engagement. The nature of work has changed. Companies around the world are struggling to find the right balance in the new work-from-home hybrid paradigm. As much of the workforce begins to go back to the office after more than a year working remotely, how can leaders keep their employees engaged and collaborating successfully? In this podcast, we interview thought leaders from business and hear their stories and viewpoints on how to use innovation to engage the workforce, as well as how to innovate engagement.
I think it's, you know, very, you know, human nature to innovate. Imagine a world where, you know, we are not hopeful, we are not looking forward to a tomorrow. No human can live like that. So the opposite of that is, like, you know, we are looking forward to a tomorrow, we are looking forward to a better tomorrow. The human tendency is that, you know, how do we get over that problems? Like, you know, how do we create solutions? So that's why I say innovation is inevitable, because, you know, you put humans in any situation, they know how to solve that problem and come out. That is the natural tendency for humans.
Dr. Sindhu Joseph is the founder of Cognicore, an inventor of 6 U.S. patents in artificial intelligence. She was a finalist for Google's Anita Borg Women in Technology Award and is a leading thinker in the use of artificial intelligence in business. Dr. Joseph, welcome. Thank you for being here. Really great honor to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and talk about innovation, artificial intelligence. I'm very excited.
How can artificial intelligence be used, you know, as a tool to help engage people more?
Artificial intelligence, like any innovation, is a tool. So we can use that in many ways. And as you are seeing in the wider world, as in the consumer-facing applications, in enterprise-facing applications, there are many ways you can embed artificial intelligence into our daily life. A couple of ways that I can think of is like creating engagement within an organization. Many times, as an employee who's joining new, there are a lot of questions that employee has in terms of, like, you know, how do I work around this organization? So if you can provide an artificial intelligence system that allows that employee to figure these things out, ask questions, get answers immediately, get engagement immediately. One of the core research in artificial intelligence that is taking place is how do we understand humans? As we are really progressing in that area, AI systems are able to pick up that communication and is able to, you know, engage with them in different ways, understanding their sentiment. That is one way to begin and engage within an organization, within an employee group. But once we have that engagement, there are, you know, many other systems that you can allow for artificial intelligence to take place within that broader context. One is, you know, training. So how do we train a new employee to embed within an organization? So AI can allow the employee to test that their skill level to kind of understand where they stand and where they lack in terms of the, you know, capability.
You've, I believe, had 6 AI inventions of your own that are patented. Why are you so interested in AI, and what is it about AI that's important in general for people to know?
As a child, I was very curious about our natural surroundings, natural systems, the plants, the animals, and I was very fascinated by how we are able to display intelligence, how a child is, you know, understanding the things they are able to understand, how they are picking up information and able to process that. So I was very curious about that. In my graduate years, I realized that there is a field called artificial intelligence where you can experiment with this kind of how do we ourselves understand intelligence. So that's my fascination towards AI, how we can design and see some of these intelligence being created artificially. I believed there are a lot of things that we can create artificially in AI systems, and that way we can understand more about how humans display intelligence. So from that standpoint, that is my, you know, huge fascination towards AI systems, building intelligence and trying to understand more about ourselves. I'm fascinated about two aspects of AI. One that you generally hear, which is the machine learning aspect, like you provide a huge amount of data to machines and then, you know, extract patterns out of it. And, you know, maybe it is not immediately visible to human eye, but to an artificial system, these patterns allow us to, you know, extract intelligence. So that is one aspect of AI that is interesting. And I think the world has caught that fascination and we can see the results of that. I'm also very curious about another aspect of artificial intelligence, which is, you know, more displayed in human kind of reasoning. Like if you observe a child, they don't use a, you know, huge number of data points and, you know, examples and trial and error. If you take them to a, you know, top of a building and ask them to jump, they wouldn't jump because they know that, you know, if they jump, they will hurt their body. How do they know? Did they see a lot of people not jumping? Did they see try themselves doing this hundreds and thousands of times? They didn't do that. It is based on another type of intelligence, which is the top-down reasoning. Like we have certain general theories, and one of these theories tell us that if we jump from a place that is above certain height, it will hurt our body. And those general theories allow them to derive and apply that to certain specific instances. So that is very exciting because, you know, you don't need to have a huge amount of data there, but then you have, you know, once we have these theories, you can apply that to many situations and that you can scale. And you can also derive, like if there are a couple of such theories, you can combine them and derive a new theory about that. So you can say that humans cannot fly, and if Sindhu is a human, then Sindhu cannot fly. That allows us to understand the concepts that we are seeing in this natural world and able to understand that.
And so what you're saying, you cannot fly.
As we build more technologies, I should be able to. But today, with my natural capabilities, without using any artificial systems, that's what I have come to derive from the general theories of, you know, physical dynamics. But we will see, you know, how we can change that.
You're talking about, you know, logical systems. People aren't logical, right? How do you go beyond logic and actually get innovation or engagement or those kind of things to happen in an organization?
I believe in using artificial intelligence when it is, like, you know, appropriate. So I would not, you know, start from artificial intelligence to, you know, create innovation in an organization. I would think, you know, what motivates people, because that is one of the things that, you know, is the breeding ground for innovation. In my own case, like, you know, I'm excited and motivated about, you know, how we can create intelligent systems. Like one of my, you know, PhD thesis was how I can build a system that is rule breaking. Then I reasoned to myself that, you know, that is displaying a huge amount of intelligence because, you know, it is behaving on its own motivation. So that kind of a drive is one thing that we need to have. We need to motivate the employees towards that. Like, you know, there is a higher goal that every employee strives beyond salaries, beyond physical comfort. And if we are able to provide that intellectual stimulation, intellectual curiosity, and intellectual motivation towards a higher objective, I think the employees are ripe for innovation. Providing that alignment within the organization, I would say, is the first thing. The second is, of course, allowing that freedom for them to innovate once, you know, they have this, you know, motivation, making sure that employees are not scared or worried if they try to innovate and fail, if they take some time out of their regular schedule and, you know, pressing other issues and priorities. So those things are, you know, very crucial in, you know, creating a viable innovation environment. And then, of course, you know, promoting the innovators, showcasing examples. I would just, you know, take a, you know, small example that we have done in our organization very recently. So we had the World Technology Day, I think, sometime in May. So we just launched a challenge for the entire organization. I didn't expect much from the employees to come up with something, you know, really exciting, because I thought, okay, you know, we have probably explored all the aspects of the solution. I was pretty surprised. People have a lot of potential. You just need to provide them a platform and opportunity to demonstrate that. The learning from that was, if they have the right stimulants, innovation is inevitable, and the right motivation. So that's my learning from that.
You just said something really interesting. Innovation is inevitable. Not a statement a lot of people in business make. Right? In a situation where most innovations fail, in a situation where most companies fail to innovate, why do you think it's inevitable?
I think it's very human nature to innovate. Imagine a world where we are not hopeful, we are not looking forward to a tomorrow. Then all human motivation is lost. Then we are waiting to basically end our life, and that's all. No human can live like that. So the opposite of that is we are looking forward to a tomorrow. We are looking forward to a better tomorrow. And when we are seeing the problems of today, the human tendency is that, how do we get over that problems? How do we create solutions? So that's why I say innovation is inevitable, because, you put humans in any situation, they know how to solve that problem and come out. That is the natural tendency for humans to behave that way. So innovation is inevitable. The social fabric of the society that we have created that suppresses this innovation. From the very child, we try to kind of mold humans into, kind of a factory kind of environment where we suppress this innovation.
So if I'm getting you right, you're saying that innovation only doesn't happen because things are in the way of it.
Yes, very much so. I think, we have, when a child asks questions, we, we suppress them, we discourage them. We have molded every child into certain kind of behaviors, we have exams, we have grades, we have certain curriculum. And every child, no matter how different they are, they are supposed to behave in certain ways and abide by certain criteria of success. This behavior is basically a hindrance to their innovation, their natural behavior. So that is what we have to break a little bit when, it comes to the work environment. But I believe that, every human has that potential to be, naturally innovative.
Is engagement natural also? Do people naturally want to engage, and then something gets in the way of that too?
I believe that's true as well. It goes a little bit into, what we sell, what the product that CogniCore has. We are a conversational system. We believe in the conversational engagement. And I often thought about, how the world has changed. I grew up in India. And where I would walk into a store and then engage with the sales person there. Anything, we would ask their recommendation. They would show different varieties of those products, and they would explain, what is good, what is bad, and so on. So after that natural engagement conversation, we would happily buy one of those products, and we might even negotiate on the price. But that's how the old systems used to work. And then Google happened. From our natural instinct to engage with people, most businesses, when they took that from that physical, brick and mortar space, when they moved to the digital space, they lost that human sales service personnel. So they provided a beautiful digital friend, but they forgot to take that sales and service person along. Google basically killed our ability to naturally engage with and do commerce. Engaging is innate nature of human beings. And that's how we, you know, engage with our fellow human beings. That's how we are a social being. And that engagement is, again, you know, suppressed using these, you know, tools that we have today.
Is artificial intelligence naturally engaging? And is it naturally innovative? Or is it only humans?
As someone who's worked in the field of artificial intelligence for more than 20 years, I can say that, you know, we are nowhere near to the general intelligence that we all hope for in building in artificial systems. We have a long way to go. Given how things are at this point, I would treat AI as a tool, as an enabler to, you know, humans to perform certain tasks better, certain objectives better and faster and in a more easier way. So it is, at the end of the day, it is an enabler for humans, and that's how it is designed.
Are there any specific things you think we need to get out of the way to enable innovation and engagement to be much better? And secondly, how can artificial intelligence assist with getting that stuff out of the way?
Before I talk about, you know, some of the key things that we should get out of the way, I would say, you know, some of the things that we need to get in the way to make innovation possible. So we need to have challenges. We need to have problems to innovate. So when we are crucially aware of the problems, that's when, and when all the other hindrances are taken away, that's when innovation happens. I think we need to have a fertile ground as well as the, you know, challenges in front of us for us to innovate. The things that we need to take away are things that, take our mind share. Especially things that are hugely time consuming and that does not allow us to, you know, have a space to think. If you walk into a large corporation, one big part of the workforce is engaged in customer service support, where you would, take a phone and repeatedly respond to the same questions from different customers. How do I, you know, get back my online access, for example, in a banking situation? I, as a customer service person, I would have answered those questions hundreds, thousands, you know, millions of times. Once I'm occupied with these things, you know, I, even if I want to solve a problem of, you know, how do I do this differently, I don't have time. I don't have, you know, a space in my brain to basically think about it. So we need to remove those things that are, you know, consuming our time and our, you know, brain space and energy to be able to, you know, to innovate. When we are a child, we are often, you know, hear this from our parents. Being bored is great because that's when you think of, you know, different things. That's when, like, you know, different ideas, different, you know, cross connections happen. And that's when, you know, you basically, you know, think of new things, you innovate. So when we are adults, when we are in a job function, we are not given that luxury. And that's where artificial intelligence comes in. So as I said, they are an enabler. If we can put them in the right place, then, you know, humans can be can use their higher capability of, you know, innovating on top of it.
So you're saying we need the luxury of being bored.
Very much so.
What exactly does Cognicore do, and specifically the kind of AI inventions or innovations that you've created? What are they?
Cognicore is an AI platform designed for financial services enterprises. The easiest way to explain this is like, let me go into the consumer space. So if you want to order a coffee machine today, you know, you would go into Amazon. Within a couple of clicks, you are setting in motion an entire supply chain. And within 2 hours, you have that coffee machine in your doorstep. If you want to change your beneficiaries for your life insurance or withdraw from your 401k, you cannot talk about the same type of experience. So that's where, like, you know, Cognicore comes in. Amazon has solved this problem beautifully. Like, you know, how do you create a customer experience that is engaging, that is efficient, and build automation and AI behind the scenes so that a physical asset, a physical artifact of a coffee machine is transported from maybe around the world, and you have that in your doorstep in 2 hours. We are talking about financial, healthcare, all of those systems where there are no physical assets, but still the systems are so inefficient that, you know, you cannot expect this kind of an experience from these kind of service providers. So Cognicore is, you know, is there exists to change that paradigm. In terms of the technologies that we use, most conversational platforms, most automation platforms use machine learning. And I truly believe that to be able to understand and assist human users, we need to understand their context. And so Cognicore systems are built based on a knowledge graph that captures your business domain, your products and services. And every conversation, every automation is powered from that. So that's where the, you know, human-based reasoning I talked about in the very beginning, like, you know, small amount of data, you know, how do you build those kinds of logical systems? So that's what Cognicore is engaged in.
So why can't we just click a button and have someone deliver innovation?
that's an interesting, thought-provoking question. I think, innovation does not work that way. I lived in India and now based in one of the, you know, most advanced places in the world, in Silicon Valley, in Palo Alto. So being in India, I was surrounded by problems. I was surrounded by challenges, and innovation was a byproduct of that. So if I had the means, you know, I was able to innovate because everywhere I look, there was a problem that was inefficient. I could make it more efficient. I could solve it in a different way. I was not in my comfort zone because there were, you know, a lot of challenges that you needed to kind of, you know, so it provided me the motivation to kind of solve this problem. I moved to the US. I have 3 kids. They mostly grew up in some of the most developed countries. For them, everything is available. So finding the motivation is very, very challenging for them. It has to be artificial for them. Like, you know, today we can click within a couple of clicks of a button, you know, we can order things and, you know, be a kind of passive consumer. Imagine you remove that comfort. I would say for innovation, we need to remove comforts. One example, again, what we did in our organization very recently is I deliberately created a space where every morning, like, you know, we come together as a company, around 50 plus employees together every morning for half an hour. We open one of our products for our customer and look at it. And then people starts commenting on, like, you know, this could be done better, that could be done better. So they actually have the discomfort of looking and engaging with our own product to see the challenges that are facing by the users. So that's when they are faced with that situation, you know, they are able to think of innovation.
What would you say is the connection between innovation and engagement?
I think it's a little bit of a symbiotic relationship. A challenge would, you know, drive you to engage with others. That could very much happen. But I believe, like, you know, when we are in our own zone and when we don't engage, you know, we do not get to get exposed to problems. We do not get exposed to cross-functional solutions. So that's why engagement is very, very crucial.
So it's interesting. It seems that as someone who is an expert in artificial intelligence, you're ultimately saying that artificial intelligence is not the most important aspect.
Definitely not. It's a human mind that we need to play with. Artificial intelligence help us to understand by looking at the data, by looking at For example, in the past 10 years, we have always hired a white male person for, you know, certain type of job. If we don't have that data, then, you know, we don't have that problem visible to us. How do we get that intelligence from, you know, AI solutions? So those insights are what artificial intelligence systems provide. As employees, how do we perform? You know, what are the things that our past performance tell us? But also, what is the field we are innovating? There is huge amount of data that is being generated around, you know, any field that we work. But that is not in a human consumable form. So if you just put that data in front of us and then say that, okay, now you have all the data, now you, you know, innovate. That doesn't happen. That's when AI systems come, you know, come into play. You extract the crucial intelligence from that data, and then, you know, now it makes sense. Okay, you know, this tells me something.
The idea that the that computers or robots are going to out innovate us is not right around the corner.
Yeah, well, I think there is a, you know, general perception as well as like from Hollywood movies, like, you know, there is a perception that is persona that is built around artificial intelligence, that there is a AI systems are going to outsmart us in many ways, and then, you know, going to innovate out, and then, you know, the humans are in danger. I do not believe that is the case. Although there are other, you know, risks around artificial systems that we need to be, you know, very aware of. One of the crucial capabilities of AI systems is their ability to scale in a huge manner. So imagine the scale can be used for faster propagation of goodness or faster propagation of evil. So for example, one, you know, easy to understand example is biases. You know, we already have in our society a lot of biases, both gender, racial, socioeconomic, all of these biases. AI systems can amplify these biases quite to, you know, very huge scales, and even make it permanent. So those are, you know, some of the immediate risks as a society from AI systems, not the ones that, you know, a robot would come and conquer our world. I think that's a, you know, very, very romantic notion of, you know, artificial intelligence, not a real one.
If people think of you and they think of the message that you're bringing, what would be the most focused or one thing that you would say about innovation engagement that people should remember?
Create space for innovation in your life, in your mind, and in your workplace. So that would be my, you know, core message. And use the tools, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's robotics, whether it's blockchains. Use all of those tools to enable you to, you know, innovate better. That's what I would probably say.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. And I really feel much better now. I feel safer from the robot apocalypse, at least being deferred for a little while.
Once we have all this, you know, behind us, it would be great to, you know, connect some time in real life. Thank you so much.
This has been At the Edge, a podcast from Innovation Minds. We look forward to hosting you on our next episode, which you can find through the same channel you got here with today. Please join our LinkedIn group where you can discuss every episode. You can find the link in the show notes. We're really glad you were here, and thank you very much from Innovation Minds.